Business Half Hour. Ugo joined the studio with us on Classic FM 97.3. It promises to be another exciting time out. We get to learn every Monday sitting at his feet. Good morning.
Yes, yes. Hi, Bukola. Good morning. Hello, Lagos. How's everybody doing?
I'm sure everybody's fine.
We had a swell weekend.
It was
the banks entertained us this weekend.
Honestly.
We all liked it.
That was top-notch.
It was awesome, right?
Yeah.
Ah, shout out to that red bank that started it and the others that went after
it
them.
It was a heat. Oh.
Advertising shouldn't always be that bad, eh?
It should be interesting.
Be fun,
yeah.
I mean, like, let's have a little bit of banter for those who thought that they kind of crossed the line. Oh, but I think at the end of the day, it wasn't that bad.
We're entertained.
Fun. Yeah, let's let our banks be a little bit more creative.
But most importantly, quality of service.
Yeah, so very important, very important. But that's good. Now it's good for competition. So now we know who is actually better when it comes to service. Talking about service and competition, there's one great area in the world of startups. Business, multinational. I mean, it kind of affects everyone. And I've been called a few times to come on this course on this subject matter. And I think I've taken a stab at it. But today we have professionals, someone who actually understands what corporate governance means. Yes, today we're going to be talking about corporate governance, Lagos. We all know about, you know, one company ABC or one company that you feel have poor corporate governance, or companies that are probably not well run, or companies that their orgas just chop the money, or companies that their employees probably don't understand what it is to run, you know, organization in the right way. And for a lot of startups and small businesses, corporate governance is something that we've come to understand that it's also very important. I mean, if you look at some of the startups that have actually fallen after a few years of being successful, a lot of their issues revolve around corporate governance. And this thing actually has a way of just taking out founders or CEOs. I mean, look at Uber. I mean, corporate governance is one of the reasons why that guy is no longer the CEO of Uber. Corporate governance almost also ate the CEO of Facebook. I mean, if they had corporate governance in place, he probably would still be there. And then look at Nigeria as well. A lot of companies down here who have also had corporate governance related issues and have actually had their CEOs either fired or their share price really are negatively affected. So, beyond all this, my grammar.
We have a guest in the studio.
Yes. We have a guest in the studio and somebody that I'm very, very, very close to, I'm fond of. Wade?
Good morning, Lagos. Thank you, Ugo, for having me in the studio. And Bukola, it's nice being in the studio with you. I hear your voice every morning, and I was wondering, and I used to think about it and say, who is this Bukola that I hear every day?
Yes.
At last, I meet Bukola.
It's a pleasure meeting you.
In full blood and flesh.
Yes, so, well, nice to have you on the show, but I want you to introduce yourself officially. You know, you and I are party, so let me introduce yourself to Lagos officially. Like, who is Wade?
Wade is a Nigerian first and foremost, because that's where the conversation started this morning. Where am I from? I'm from Nigeria.
You know that name? People are like, what kind of name is that? Where is he from?
I'm from Nigeria with over 25 years corporate experience in banking, oil and gas, consulting. In August last year, I decided to go into the murky waters of being an entrepreneur. And after 11 years working with Sahara Group, and also put together my thoughts in respect of corporate governance in a book called Crappy Fart.
Crappy Fart. You know, the first time I saw that book, I was like, where did this name come from? Like, how did you come about that name?
Well, everybody asked me every time they see the book, how did you come about Crappy Fart? Well, so much research went into it, and how did we finally arrive at Crappy Fart? About 5 years ago, I was asked to set up corporate governance for Sahara Group. They were going into power, like you know.
Okay.
And on that basis, we started to think about how do you explain corporate governance from an operational perspective. Why? Mm-hmm. Because everybody thinks that corporate governance is about the board. The board this, the board that. Bad governance is caused by the board of directors, who unfortunately we only meet like
maybe four times a year.
Sometimes twice. And you heap all the blames on them. So we started thinking about organizations that have done great with governance. What did they do right? And we found out that what they've tried to do is rather than get their departments working silos, they get them working together, using the synergy effect to ensure that at the end of the day, business transactions are looked at from every aspect as it relates to legal and regulatory issues, risk management, accounting and finance, project and governance strategy, and the last but not the least, which everybody doesn't like, internal controls, because they say too much controls is bad for
kind
business.
Kind of stifles innovation.
Exactly.
All right, good. I mean, corporate governance is something that a lot of Nigerians, in fact, regulatory authorities are taking seriously. A lot of companies now actually have departments set up for corporate governance. I mean, it wasn't like that like 10 years ago, right? I mean, corporate governance was just something that was just within the legal department. But now, like, you basically have departments set up for corporate governance. But so you've written a book now on corporate governance. What did you intend to achieve, I mean, with this book?
Two things. First, let people understand what governance is all about. And secondly, for people starting off business, entrepreneurs, small businesses, medium-scale businesses, that the act of governance really is not just about the board, but it also relates to how you operate and transact your business on a daily basis. Why? Because if you don't understand the business or the transaction dynamics, at the end of the day, no matter how smart your board is, transactions will go sour. And with the high level of corruption perception in across emerging markets, you would believe that partnerships become impossible. Why? Because, for instance, if I wanted to go into a partnership with Nairametrics, one of the first things I'll look at is, what are the transaction dynamics that they have? Who are the people on the board? Who are the people running the business? And then I start to profile them. Mm-hmm. And then I start to look at how the business looks at corporate governance and compliance from the perspective of being able to invest in such business. And today, with the fact that we're living in a global economy, it becomes necessary that organizations from the onset understand what their key objectives are and how they set out their governance risk structure and compliance structures towards achieving the long-term end.
All right, so let's shift focus a bit now to a lot of the more tech-driven companies that you have in Nigeria today. So for a lot of these tech companies, SMEs, startups, or even medium-sized companies, they're still finding it hard to grapple with corporate governance. And of course, there's that need for them to always want to innovate all the time, right? So that constant need for innovation, for beating out competition, requires that, you know, they lack a lot of controls, you know, till they get there. So they tell you that, look, when we get there, we can always talk about corporate governance. So from that standpoint, what do you think small businesses should be doing? I mean, how should they set up corporate governance, or how should they treat corporate governance?
Well, like, you know, when everybody talks about entrepreneurship, you just think about entrepreneurship as someone, or an entrepreneur as someone who goes, set up a company, and then has an idea and starts to work. However, I have a slightly different orientation to entrepreneurship. The mere fact you have an idea in an organization that will drive the business is entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you can actually take it out and make money, but maybe you don't have the right set of people to work with you. So for me, the first thing you need to do is think about your structure in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about your structure in the long term, you bring it back home and say, okay, this is where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
I have 100,000 naira to set up this business.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do? I'll call on the likes of Ugo,
mm-hmm.
who has knowledge in finance, economics, and say, you know what, I'll need you to advise me on a daily basis, mm-hmm. or on a regular basis. So I bring you in as a member of my advisory board. Usually I'll suggest about three people,
okay.
who, you know, have some level of high level of understanding of business.
Okay.
They've done business, they've managed businesses, or they've sat on boards before now.
Okay.
So that way, your ideas will remain what it is, and you will drive those things, but you have people who will guide you and who will also help you set out the structures that will help you, for instance, get financing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have an Ugo who's been in this business for the last 10, 15 years, And I walked to the bank.
Exposed my age.
and I walked to the bank and say he's a member of my advisory board.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Someone will listen
to
you.
Yeah, that brings a lot of credibility, right?
Yeah. Someone will listen to you. Mm-hmm. And then what will happen is, okay, come and do a presentation. And then I'll beg you and say, you know what?
Come with me.
Come. So that when they're asking all the big questions, yes. I know the idea. Mm. I have the things to do. Mm. But when they're asking the big questions in terms of what strategy am I going to employ? How do you plan to pay back these monies? And then all those things start to come in place. So I'm all for young people having those wild, crazy ideas. But I'm also for young people to understand that you need to see the vision of 10, 15, 20 years of your business as
and
you
start to create that foundation.
Yes,
now. I like the way you've described it, right? Especially for a small business. You don't have to maybe have like a full-fledged department or something. So you can just have maybe two or three people help you with advisory, and that already puts you on the path to, you know, corporate governance in future. But is this expensive? Because some people think it's a bit expensive. I mean, like, to start to get these guys and get, how do you get them committed?
Okay, now there are two ways about it. So first and foremost, I'll look for who I know,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll call him. He might not have all the time, but he will always have time for me. And if he or she believes in your idea, mm-hmm. they will stick with you and
okay.
then will guide
okay.
you through. Now the second part is something that we started off just before I left Sahara, which is creating what you call an entrepreneurship hub.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that do? You bring experts, subject matter experts together mm-hmm. in a hub mm-hmm. where young people who have ideas, who are creative, mm-hmm. throw those ideas in, and then you will find the subject matter experts who will guide you as you go on in trying to deal with your business. Now the subject matter experts are all from various fields, legal, finance, accounting, governance.
But who's going to fund that, Wadi?
Well, like I said, it was something we started in Sahara.
So assuming I'm an entrepreneur we're a group of startups.
Okay,
and
so
we're looking for some kind of corporate governance. How are we going to fund that?
Okay, so let me say this. I was at a session a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. And I was talking to some members of the Ministry of Wealth Creation in Lagos State, mm-hmm. Trying to put small businesses together and trying to weed them out and know who should go to the next level. And one of the things I realized was they have a huge portfolio of loans for the small businesses,
mm-hmm.
but they haven't thought about the peripheral and things that those small businesses will have to do. One, for instance, accounting.
Mm-hmm,
who is going
mm-hmm.
to prepare my accounts
account,
for me?
Yeah.
For instance, financial modeling, governance.
Mm-hmm,
now,
mm-hmm.
with all those kind of things, for me, with those kind of ventures, what the state or organizations should start to put together are pools of funds that they can use to start driving those things. And what it does also is helps them look at startups that they can actually put their monies into and advise them and become
viable
businesses or great businesses in the near future.
Hmm. Okay. Let's track back a little bit. I've always had this confusion. I don't know Bukola, whether you have that whether that affects you as well. Like people say, look, corporate governance, regulatory compliance. What's the difference? In fact, maybe let's even start. What is corporate governance? Like, yeah, so what's this thing? Am I government? So, like, what's the difference?
First and foremost, let me start by defining corporate governance. Mm-hmm. It's a system of rules, practices, and processes by which a company is directed and controlled.
Okay.
So it's essentially involves balancing the interest of all the company many stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you think about that from that perspective, it means that I'm not only thinking about the people who have put money down for that business to go on, but I also have to think about the analyst who is looking at my books, the financiers who I'm trying to borrow money from, or even the NGOs who are telling you that your business is not environmentally friendly.
So all these guys all have a stake.
Yeah, they all have a stake in good governance of the business. Now, as a fallout of that, the rules and regulations.
How about the employees? Don't they have a...
Same. Yeah, she's saying, what about the employees?
Everybody. That's why I said all stakeholders. Even the employees, because you get money. Let me use a typical example. I work in XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's a petrol station. And I know that they cheat me at the pumps every time. I would never buy fuel from them.
Uh-huh.
And that's me, an employee. But that's where they pay my salaries.
Mm.
So what would I do? I'd say, well, if the pump man attendant can cheat me, so it means that this company can cheat me. So I'm looking for a new company that I'm going to move into. So also all that put in place. However, like I said, because there are rules externally and internally that you have to abide with in running a business, whether you have a small idea or a large idea, the processes that you have to put in place for those things to work, it now falls into the aspect of saying there is compliance. So compliance generally is just, how do I comply with the rules and regulations, whether it's internal or external, for me to ensure that the business is profitable. Well, I hate to use the word profitable,
creates
wealth,
okay,
which
okay.
is
or value,
which,
or value, value, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is business. Which for me is the ideology that businesses should be having now. How do you create value and create wealth across stakeholders?
All right, guys, we've been talking corporate governance with Wade. He the author of the book Crappy Fart. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the book as we go on, so we'll take a break, Bukola.
All right then. From ABBA, and the lady just had a list, going to Las Vegas, going to Monaco. It's all about money, man. That's how you ball. So corporate governance, good corporate governance will ensure you create wealth, you make good money, and you can ball. Am I right?
Yes, Bukola. You know, someone asked me once, this one you talk about money. I hope you have this money. Man, I don't yet. I'm still hustling.
There's a stage. Don't worry.
I know. All right. We said we're going to delve a bit more into the book. I have the book here, Lagos, by the way. Let's first of all start with the concept of crappy fart. So what's that concept? I mean, like, crappy fart, it's not, I think it has a link from what I read in the book. It has a meaning, a definition. So what does that mean?
Okay, crappy stands for corporate law, risk management, accounting and finance, project and governance strategy, and internal control. That's crappy. Now, where you let the crappy things of your organization work together, the synergy will provide what you call the FAT, which is fairness, accountability, responsibility, and transparency.
That's some acronym. God,
honestly,
I need to go a consultant for a name.
So the more crappy your organization seems to be,
the better the fast it will be
because more things will be transparent. We talked about Facebook.
Can you recap that again, though?
It sounds negative, but the outcome is positive.
Yeah,
exactly. So we're talking off air about Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
If Facebook, well, they do have a crappy system, mm-hmm. but they are not all aligned. So, for instance, they're just going to pay a fine in respect to what's the name of the company again?
To the analytics company.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, what had happened? Just a brief explanation. What had happened with Facebook was that they had discovered this in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
There were six organizations, and they came to an agreement and said, "Okay, you six, we found you out. You need to delete those data." Five of the companies did. Cambridge Analytica
did not.
Now, if you wanted to fat properly, what you would have just done in 2015 was say, "Well, we found this, and these are the things that we've agreed." So communicating it will show that you are being transparent.
Mm.
And what would have happened in 2018 when the Cambridge Analytica issue busted out would be the public defending you and telling you, "Oh, we knew about this." So it means that Cambridge Analytica
are the bad ones.
Yeah. So something like that. So where you allow your crappy system work well, mm-hmm. what happens is that your fatting is just...
It's much better. That's the analogy, man. there's one part in the book, right? That I read and I'm like, hold on. Like, really? I mean, you talked about, you were trying to, you know, delve into the crappy fat from a different angle. And you talked about the role of a beaver in ice cream. I'm not sure you want to hear this. you mean that a beaver's
secretion
is part of what we use for ice cream flavors, like.
Well, it is. So today there are quite a number of artificial flavoring that has been done. But the concept originally comes from the secretion, which is called castoreum, of the North American beaver's anus.
No more ice cream.
when we were talking of it, I said, man, you guys will refuse to take ice cream after this. But it just comes to bring to the fact that it's the crappy things that make the sweetness at the end of the day.
I see.
The secretion from the anus of the North American beaver is used to make your vanilla, your strawberry, your whatever ice cream you want to have. And when you're chewing down on the ice cream or licking it down, good as you, not me. But you're enjoying the ice cream.
No way, not me again.
Oh my God. All right, so let's delve a bit into some corporate governance scandals that we've had in Nigeria.
Wow.
I mean, like, one that comes to mind was, to me though, was the stock market crash. I mean, it's very personal to me, of 2008, 2009, 2010, and 2011. A lot of corporate governance were thrown out the window between the banks, the stockbrokers, and even some investors as well. In a nutshell, what do you think went wrong from a corporate governance perspective? Of course, the regulators as well.
Okay, so the first thing for me is you need to understand man's greed.
Mm.
And wherever there is greed, you throw corporate governance down the drain. So it's not only about Nigeria. We can use a million and one examples. In my book, I use the examples of Siemens, one of the largest organizations in the world,
mm-hmm.
and they fell into issues of bribery and corruption. And at the end of the day, what you need to do is understand that, like I said, it's the crappy things that you do that would ensure that your business is sustainable. So what happened is a lot of the banks, a lot of the stockbroking houses, because there was so much FDIs coming into Nigeria,
yes.
It became like I said, stockbroking is also about gambling. Well, that's how I look at it. Mm. I also play in shares, but you know, and you should understand the limits to which you should play, gamble with life savings. So at the end of the day, a lot of the management and boards of these organizations threw corporate governance down the drain. And one of the reasons why SEC introduced the code of some corporate governance code of conduct. Another area that I would also look at is the last one that just happened, MMM, where everybody, it's too good to be true, where the grass is continuously luscious in spring, summer, winter.
Everything
is always
bring your money.
There's something going on. So at the end of the day, for me, like I said, is about organizations understanding what your focus is in 20 years and setting out those structures and abiding by them. So it's not only about the board. What is management doing to embed corporate governance into the daily lives of me, you, the foot soldiers, as it is, and I will share my experience, which you know clearly, with one of the companies in Sahara. I'm sure you remember when we started the corporate governance drive. Everybody was like, "What is this? What is this?" But today, you find out that it's probably there are still some bad eggs, but 90% of the organization has changed its orientation towards being a service organization and focusing on delivering service, and that for me is what drives the board to the next direction.
All right, before we leave, let's come back to a lot of the startups today. A lot of companies are raising money left, right, center. I mean, like, a lot of capital is going into small businesses like never before. Every week you hear one has picked $500,000 in seed funding, $1 million, $2 million. So for a lot of these companies, how do you think corporate governance affects their future viability? Of course, remember, these guys are raising money from just about anybody, and sometimes the people behind those venture capitals are people that they actually don't know. All they just see is the money. So how does a startup start to look at corporate governance in terms of, look, who is actually investing in my business or in my idea?
The first thing you need to understand is, what are my long-term goals? And secondly, is for you to, like I said also earlier, is for you to put a set of people together who can continually advise you in the right direction. A third thing I would ask small businesses to do is, don't try and go it alone, because you've gotten $1 million. Sometimes you need to outsource, and you need to come together as a group. So you can outsource financial services or accounting services. You can outsource legal services, because the combination of 100 people being provided financial services by other small businesses would not be too expensive.
Okay.
And subsequently, as you go on, as you grow, you start to bring in those things into your system. But like I said earlier, it's if you get a copy of the book, I'm sure you would find out all the things that you require, from small to medium to conglomerate, in terms of how you should drive governance, risk, and compliance.
All right, Wadi, thanks so much for coming. Usually, we like to leave with a parting shot. But before you get to the parting shot, like, parting shot basically is, I mean, do you have a byline or the kind of thing that drives you? But before we get there, where can our listeners get your book if they want to buy
it? It's available on Amazon and Kindle. It hasn't hit the shops in Lagos yet. Okay. But if you want a copy, you can send a mail to ACCTS Labs.
Okay, that's a hard copy.
Yes, okay, for a hard copy. You can send a mail to ACCTS Labs.
Don't let them spam you. Don't worry. Just let us know.
at gmail.com.
We'll tweet that out as well, if you follow our handle. So, what's your byline? What's that word? What do you want Lagos to like always follow this watch word? Do you have any? Apart from Capri Fat, though.
My byline will be, for Lagos to read more, for young, old to continually reading, because we never stop learning until we die.
Yeah, that's it. Never stop learning until you die. Lagos, that's it for today. Bukola?
Okay, go away with the crappy facts mentality. Yeah, make the best of it. Somebody's already asking for your book anyway. you're going to tweet that out?
So just, of course, check out Nairametrics' handle on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I'm sure they will have that posted already.
All right, enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you for coming, Owadi.
Thank you, Bukola.
We play only the classics.
Keep it classic, keep it hot, and keep it moving. Keep it right here.
Keep it 973.
Classic hip-hop and R&B.
What's good, family? It's Al B. Short.